you've been given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry, creator of the show Light on Living, will be co-hosting as live callers ask their burning question on self-love, self-healing, deepening relationships, areas of struggle, and next steps. By simply listening in, you're receiving wisdom that will lead to sacred stability from every channeled message that Noemi delivers. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace.
Oh, well, hello, everyone. We are here with access to angels and grace. And Noemi, I kind of feel like every time we come on air to share with our wonderful, beautiful listeners that we are helping them to get through some really heavy and tough and hard stuff. And we just want to make it a little bit lighter and let people know they're not alone. So hello, Noemi.
Hello. And also what we are going through, what we are sharing, what we are deepening in our show, we're also experiencing aspects of that in our own lives. So it's not only for listeners. Everything's so relevant that there's always a deeper level. And every time we think, oh, I don't really have that, then we find out that we do.
And it's exactly like the show description this week about the first line in there, the trunk in the corner caught the woman's eye as she felt a twinge of regret. And we have a lot of those trunks, and they're named different things at different times, but this week we are dealing with the trunk of regret. The heavy trunk. this is one topic at first where I thought, yeah, you know what? I work a lot with regret in the sense that I process it a lot and quickly, but you know, it's helpful that we can share how we do that and where it shows up, because there's an accumulation of regret. There can be so much blame around regret. There can be ownership that maybe we're not taking of regret. And stuff that just weighs us down. And so this particular one, we called this one, everybody, How to Release Regret. And we'd love to hear from you if that's something that you're working on or dealing with, or like, no, I'm good. I'm good at releasing regret. So, you know, what, just in general terms, why do we hang on to it if we know it's hurting us and it's holding us back? Like, why are we hanging on to this regret?
Oh, there's so many reasons. I mean, a lot of times if we're regretting something, we're blaming ourselves on some level. We may be blaming other people too, but we're blaming ourselves. I should have, coulda, woulda. I should have known better. What was I thinking? You know, so we have this judgment attached to it, and we can't accept that
we.
Maybe we're in a relationship that was abusive, or made a poor choice somewhere in our lives, and so these are things that we can't accept about ourselves, and so that non-acceptance keeps us stuck, attached to it. So that's regret, you know, keeps us attached to the thing that we are dissatisfied with, the thing that hurt us, the thing that we really wish we hadn't been a part of, yet we're dragging it through life. It's like the ball and chain. Regret is there as you know, we're dragging that. And so it's not because we want to beat ourselves up. It's because we can't let go. We can't let go of whatever meaning, whatever story we have about what happened and the judgment of it. And so once you can let go of all of that, releasing the regret is easy. But And obviously some things are more regretful than others, you know, so sometimes it's easy to let go of a few things, but sometimes it's challenging.
Yeah. And sometimes it comes into like the disbelief, like not just denial, but the disbelief that we could have made a decision or taken action that was so incredibly either harmful to us that we didn't like the outcome, that we were so wrong, that we could have fallen for something or gone that route. And so when I heard your pre-channeled message that Noemi does before every show, there was just so much in it in a ways of I felt that this pre-channeled message was one that I wanted to break down a little and chat about it as you shared it, because it is 5 minutes and there's so, just so much goodness. I didn't want to, you know, try to capture it all at the end. So, Noemi, would you mind if we, if as you read this pre-channeled message, we take it a little bit chunk by chunk?
Sure. So, unfortunately, so this, the pre-channeled message, as Lisa has endearingly called it, is actually, when I do that, I'm actually channeling in written form, which is different than what I do on the show, which is channeling in oral form. So I'm actually hearing it and writing it. So, you know, so there's no paragraphs or anything. So I will attempt to know where is a good break point, because it's just like, it looks like a big stream of consciousness. It's pages of handwritten in my journal, because it's just easier for me to channel that way. The computer's too distracting, notifications and things like that. So, I'm happy to read it more slowly. And, you know, if there's a point that you want to ask a question or comment or do something, you know, go for it, Lisa.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Because I remember I heard the first sentence and I went, oh, you know, and there was like something that we, you know, wasn't there. So yeah, let's give that a try.
All right. So this one is called Free Yourself from the Pains of Regret. To release regrets, you must be willing to see things differently. Until you do, you continue to re-experience the pains of the past. And this keeps you attached to those things that you regret. Then you can't free yourself of your past, and your past is alive and unwell in your present. Regrets tie you to both a painful past and a perception of more painful possibilities in the future. You regret because your vision is short-sighted. You cannot see the whole landscape because your vision is filled with the painful parts of your past, even when you try to look away from them, to keep them from infiltrating your present. But no matter what you do, regrets leak into your present and hold you hostage until you release them.
That, there we go. Yes, the infiltrate, with that line there, infiltrating your present, yes, and leaking. That was something that we think, you know, regrets are in that trunk. They are tucked away. That's over there. Okay, I can just move forward. But this landscape really does have all these little bumps of leaked regret and that are currently affecting, and then the whole hostage, keeping you hostage. Like, we think we're free of this. We think that that's compartmentalizing it. And
yes,
with regret, is that possible to have a regret, not release it, but tuck it away and still live a fulfilling, free life?
Well, so yes, you know, that's such a general question, right? So we might regret what we ate for breakfast, you know? I mean, if it's causing indigestion, right? So probably more like ate for dinner. But, you know, you might regret last night's supper if it's causing indigestion. So, you know, there are those, and when we're talking about these regrets, we're really talking about the big stuff. The stuff that we just haven't been able to make peace with, have compassion for, find forgiveness for, that kind of stuff. So can you live a fulfilling life? Sure. However, whatever you regret is, you know, Carl Jung said, what you resist persists. And regret it creates resistance. So it's going to persist. It's going to show up at times. When you least expect it, someone's going to remind you of that relationship that you just wish you didn't spend 8 years on, or you know, that whatever, you had a poor choice that you made where you thought it was going to be good and it seemed good and turned out to be the worst decision of your life. Something's going to remind you of those things. Mm-hmm. So out of sight, out of mind is only really that until something comes and triggers the memory, because the memory gets triggered. We can't control that.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Okay. I'll let you move forward there like that. Yeah. Reminders.
Okay. You're fading out, honey.
Oh, sorry.
What were you saying?
Yes, the we will be reminded. So just keeping that in mind, it's not just out of sight, out of mind, but it is there to show up. So I know there's more goodies in the channeled message mm-hmm. on that.
To release regrets, you must be able to see both what you regret and yourself from a different perspective, from the perspective of self-love, compassion, and acceptance. Until you discover the gifts within each regret, you cannot free yourself. You must access those gifts and embrace them and let the pain go. See with eyes of love instead of judgment, and the very same actions and events look completely different. If you dare to embrace compassion for yourself and others, if you dare to see the vulnerabilities in you both without judgment, your perception would then shift. And you might see a poor choice as one being made from the need to protect yourself and the perception that it would keep you safe. And you might have made that choice from that perception. You might also see decisions made from fear in a different light. Many of the choices you regret were made from fear, others made from assumptions or wishful thinking, or not listening to your own intuition, or simply from making a mistake. When you are fearful, you want to protect yourself, to keep yourself safe. This may result in playing it safe, maintaining the status quo, or retracting like a turtle into its shell. You must stop seeing decisions made from fear with eyes of judgment. Learn to see them with eyes of compassion. Often the decisions that prove to be unhealthy or unwise were made from a desire to be safe and protect yourself. The turtle in the shell, the ostrich with its head in the sand, the deer frozen in the headlights. These are examples from nature that illustrate how fear causes you to contract and freeze, which are clearly not the best choices. But you wouldn't judge the deer for freezing when a truck is barreling towards it, or the ostrich or turtle for trying to escape in a way that makes it more vulnerable. Why do you judge your own choices made from the desire to protect yourself? Love that. Yes. Learn to recognize. Yeah, you want to say something there?
Stop, but yeah, let's the protection and compassion piece, I think, is a beautiful thing to tie together on that, because when we understand that we are coming from a place of trying to protect myself, it's if somebody were to say that, like, well, gee, I put my hands up because there's something coming at me. Then we, you know, if we've told somebody keep your hands down and then they put it up, like there's so much more understanding. So compassion is deeper than understanding. It's understanding and offering love.
Yes. So in one of my future books, some of the messages I channel from the divine are about compassion, and they define compassion as love and connection. Which I think is so beautiful.
Yes. Okay. So, this is a good point then, because when we're in regret, we've lost a connection with ourselves.
Yes. Good point. Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. We have to be connected with ourselves. We can't be putting parts of ourselves in that trunk. We have to embrace all of us, even whatever has happened that's not created the outcome that we wished, or maybe we see ourselves not where we should be at this point in life, should is in quotes, and things like that. And so we have that judgment or that evaluation that comes in and yet still love yourself, still accept yourself. It's so important.
Perfect.
Okay. So I'll just read the last sentence and then continue going. Reread the last sentence. Why do you judge your own choices made from the desire to protect yourself? Learn to recognize your desire to care for yourself and the fear of change or exposing your pain, and see all those vulnerabilities with compassion. Your pain is real, but your inability to let go of regret does not allow your pain to heal and release. You are keeping your past pain alive when you judge. Be willing to see differently. In most cases, your motivation for the decisions you now regret was based in doing what you thought was either best for you or others, or what you thought would bring you less pain. Whatever was the driving force behind those things that you most regret, learn to see that you were trying to serve yourself in some way, even if your perception at the time was clouded by assumptions and wishful thinking. You must learn to be curious enough to discover how you were trying to benefit yourself at the time, to take care of yourself so that you could avoid further pain. See what you regret as coming from a place of meaning well for yourself. Bring compassion to the pains and sources of regret, and the picture changes completely. In compassion, you can let go and begin to embrace forgiveness. There is no forgiveness without compassion. In forgiveness, you can find what there is to be grateful for, even in what you regret. The most painful events often create the greatest change and the greatest capacity for compassion. See how that which you feared, what you regretted, has brought you gifts. Recognize the gifts and then let go more. Forgiveness is a process of acceptance and letting go, fueled by compassion. Much love is available to you through forgiveness. Releasing regret is vitally important to your well-being and creates an opening for new and wonderful things in your life. And we are here to help you free yourself from the pains of regret. In great love, namaste.
And see that, then, see, this message is just fully loaded.
Yes, it is.
Because, once we have that, we talk about that compassion, which is, understanding, love, connection, then we head on over there into forgiveness, which is the whole big thing, too. And something that came up there was be curious as to your thoughts, like where did you think you were going to benefit? And a benefit could be safety. A benefit could be a better life. It could be you thought you'd having compassion for another, so you made this decision so they could be safer. It could be others' yes. protection. And where there was, if we can be curious enough to find the benefit in that change that we were trying to do at the time, then we can offer that forgiveness. It's almost like it's not needed anymore, but you know what I mean? Like that forgiveness the freeing forgiveness.
Yes. That forgiveness is releasing yourself. It is like turning the key and saying, okay, getting yourself out of the prison cell.
Yes.
So
it's okay. That's interesting. I just imagined a person in a prison cell. Oh my gosh. Is it already commercial?
And it's commercial time. It's past commercial time. Yes.
Okay. Okay. When we come back, we are letting that person out of their prison cell. So come on back.
That sounds great.
Access Home to prison. Access to angels and grace.
Access to prison. You are so funny.
I didn't even know that.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right, as we were deep into that conversation, on Access to Angels and Grace, talking about regret, and we were just about to unlock the prison cell there for freedom. And where I was going with that, Noemi, was you could open a gate, you could, or cell or prison door, whatever it is, and you could tell that person that, you know, no, you're good, you can come out, we understand why you did that. But until we forgive ourselves, that then we, you know, it's that forgiveness piece. And I have a question that's already kind of coming through here, is there's a difference between ownership and blame. And when we have regret, it feels like we're so upset with ourselves, shameful and blaming, like saying, well, it's my fault, I did it, it was my choice. And that's very different than, that was my choice, I did it. You know, there's a different feeling. So I guess if you're feeling conversational and channeling around this, is how can we move to healthy ownership to move forward from the blame and anger stage?
You know, it's so important. That's a great question. I'm actually going to write it down. How can we move
to ownership? Healthy ownership.
Healthy ownership. From blame and what did you say? From blame?
And anger.
Oh, and anger. Yes. So, you know, when we own something, it is like turning that key. It doesn't have power over us. If we keep trying to push it down, you know, we're trying to push that, like the beach ball, and keep it underwater. Push it down, push it down, push it down. We allow it to pop up to the surface and say, yep, that beach ball is mine. Yep, okay, it's here. It's no longer exerting all of this pressure on you and taking all this energy out of you. And then you also can step back and see from a more neutral position, you know, what are your best choices now? You know, as long as you're caught up in blaming yourself or blaming someone else too, like if they hadn't, then I wouldn't have, and then this bad thing wouldn't have happened. As long as we're caught up in all of that, we are trying to push that beach ball down, keep it down, push it down. It's probably bigger. It's probably more like a basketball or something, trying to push it down and keep it down below the water. And, you know, it takes so much effort all the time. You can't, as soon as you let go of that basketball, it's back up the top of the water. So pushing that down. So the lack of ownership is like not mine, trying to push it away, you know. And we all do that, especially if we regret something. It takes a lot of maturity and courage, yes, to say, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Maturity.
And, you know, you could say, I really don't know what I was thinking at the time and why I made that decision, you know, which is a whole lot better, different than, well, what was I thinking? You know, yes. And or you could say, you know, I know what I was thinking. And it was, I thought that being with that person who had, you know, the money, the means to take care of the practical one, I didn't. I thought that that would be the best choice for me. And it wasn't, you know, and because we're not seeing the whole picture or not acknowledging the whole picture. Right. So. Yes. Right. So yeah. You're with someone who's good, but abusive, you know, then you can latch onto the good and not really recognize that abusive part. So, but I really like the question, and how can we move to healthy ownership from blame and anger? I mean, it's so important, and it's so easy to get stuck in that. The blame, anger goes right along with it. It's so easy to get stuck. It's like stuck in the muck. It takes a lot of effort to free yourself.
Yes, and just before we go into that chilling, I would like to share if anybody's, because this is so relevant. I have a very close friend that just literally closed off a divorce this week, days ago, and being the friend and being there, I was thinking, aren't you happy? Like, oh, like I'm waiting for celebration. Let's have a little party. Like, all that, you know, that all that yucky is over, and yet I quite couldn't understand. You know, at first, going, she is just not. She is just now. She's just more numb and angry if she's going to feel anything. And that was a very difficult for. It's like, oh, I want her to be so happy because there's freedom, but there still is a lot of healing whenever anything is ended, even if it's a bad thing, even if it's a bad thing that's finally over. Maybe you're no longer sick. Maybe you're clear from cancer. Maybe you, but there's this awkward stage, I think, that transitioning stage from anger and blame to that healthy ownership.
Yeah, well, because it's become default, right? Like Abraham, living by default. So if it becomes the default, I mean, if you've been stuck there for a while, it becomes your autopilot response. You're where you are. On autopilot, that's where you are. That's your default. So to change the default, you know, it's like turning the ship. It takes you some awareness, and it takes a while.
Yes. That's perfect.
Yeah. So shall I ask about this lovely question?
Oh, please.
Okay. Yes, healthy ownership. I like that. Because sometimes ownership is not healthy either. Yeah, I did it. You know, yeah, okay. I'm not blaming anyone else, but I'm going to beat myself up. You know, there's that unhealthy ownership. So I like that healthy ownership. So in case you're listening for the first time, and just take a couple seconds to get deeper, deepen the connection with the divine. And I usually grab a swig of water, and then I turn it over to them. I greet the source, and then they start talking. So just a couple seconds. Take that swig of water now. Divine, so grateful that you're here and you can help us with this question, because if this topic is so big for so many of us, and we've all experienced that regret and the unhealthy ownership. So how can we move from that blame, which is like blame and anger, to healthy ownership, and then beyond that into whatever healing or different choices that we can make. So grateful for whatever you have to share. And we are grateful to be included here. We see so many of you. At any time that we look at all of humanity, we see so much regret running deep within the souls and the hearts of so many of you at any point in time. And all of you have experienced regret. And regret is not meant to be some place where you get stuck. It is meant to be a positive experience in that it opens your eyes. Oh, that choice is going to lead to an outcome, has led to an outcome that was painful. If I do that again, I will get more pain. It is like the child on the hot stove putting the hand on the hot pot. wanting to see what's in that pot, wanting to access it, putting the hand on the hot pot and burning itself. The regret is like that, where the child will remember, don't do that. Don't put the hand on the hot pot. And so you, as humans, don't experience regret often that way. You have the suffering. You have the pain. It is burning. You have that hot hand that burnt. You're burnt and you're feeling the pain and the suffering, and you stay there. You make it your new address. You start to live there for a while. You can wallow in it and you can go deep in it. You can really do that deep dive in the suffering of regret. And again, regret is simply meant to be momentary, but we say momentary from the divine perspective where we live in timeless awareness. It is meant to be a short experience where you see, you're able to see what has occurred and see it from a place of compassion and a place of recognition that, oh, aha, that choice, that lack of choice, that indecision or that big decision or has led to a painful outcome, and I don't want to be there again. That is what regret is meant to be. It is meant to be this recognition, and we wouldn't even call it regret, but what is meant to be the healthy process is recognition rather than regret. Recognition, ah, okay, this choice, this behavior has led to this outcome that is causing me pain. I want to choose differently. I want to do it differently next time. And so when you get in regret, you are stuck there and you cannot do it differently next time, even if you try, because you're dragging, you're stuck. You are stuck in the muck. You are in the muck, as Noemi Grace said. You're there. You're stuck there and unable to move very readily. It takes great effort to move yourself. And so you wind up residing there in this regret. And regret is a painful, painful consequence of not being able to see with eyes of love, not being able to see with compassion, not being able to bring acceptance to what has occurred. And yet without acceptance, you cannot move past. If you want to move to healthy ownership, you must accept, but you must also not blame. Accept that this has occurred. See it as a learning opportunity. See it as a painful experience that it may be painful, maybe not so painful, but something you do not want to repeat. And so stop getting stuck there. Recognize when you're stuck there. So if you don't recognize that you're stuck there, the dialogue is full of blame, and your thoughts are angry thoughts, and you are in this place that feels so bad, maybe even feels worse than what you regret. Start to recognize that bad feeling as where you don't want to be. And so when you are feeling badly, look, what is going on? Regret is one of the big causes of feeling badly. Blame is another one. Blame, judgment, regret, all of these and so many and a few others are the main causes of your suffering. And when you are suffering, you must be able to recognize that. Get to the point where you can see the face of suffering, where you can feel it, you can know it. I am suffering. When you can say that to yourself, I am suffering and I don't want to, that starts to turn the crack. That starts to turn the key a crack in that door of the prison cell. I am suffering and I don't want to. I choose to not suffer. And so everyone makes mistakes. Everyone makes choices. From hindsight, where you have that 20/20 vision, do not seem so well. Acknowledge that that was not your finest hour and move on. Acknowledge that you would rather do something differently next time. And the forgiveness is simply to let yourself off the hook. Stop keeping yourself on that hook, and the hook hurts. Let yourself off the hook. Okay, but poor choice. Whatever the story is attached to it that is painful, okay. Say it, acknowledge it, Release it by letting it go, as if you would let something go into the wind, a helium-filled balloon, and you just let your hands off the tie, and the balloon rises. It goes. Let's let it go, as if you would let something go in a windy condition, and it would take it away. And so your heart deserves to be free, and you cannot be free if you are hanging on, and you are hanging on to that which you regret, and you are hanging on to that blame and the anger, all that feels badly. You do not need to live in any place that feels badly. You are meant to be beings of joy and love and compassion. And if you find yourself far from that, check to see if there's regret nearby, because it probably is. And learn that it is not worth living there at any cost. With so much more to say, we honor you. We are complete. Namaste.
It felt nice to hear that regret is meant to be momentarily, not.
Yeah, and they called it they said it's meant to be recognition. Yeah.
Yes, recognition over regret.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's a feel-good thing, too. There's something that came up, and I'll do it after commercial break, but it was about regret in the sense of second-guessing yourself when you think you've released regret, and it's, okay, no, it was just momentarily, I recognize it, I'm moving on, and then it shows up later, and you second-guess. You're like, oh, maybe I do, revisiting regret and stuff. So we'll do that when we get back, because I love in this message, about a healthy ownership, and ownership and releasing are so two opposite. You're like, wait a second, am I holding? You're not. Ownership doesn't mean holding on. That's what it is. Yeah.
But you cannot. Oh, I have something to say after commercial about that.
Perfect. Okay, I will circle that. So we are coming back to healthy ownership here on Access to Angels and Grace.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right. Well, we enjoyed that channel message from you, Noemi, and there was something a little bit more to say around it still, and you had something around ownership.
Well, you said ownership and releasing is kind of too... They seem like two different things. And I had posted on social media a few weeks ago. I think I did. I know it hit me, and I believe I did. Yes. Which is that you can't release what you're not holding. How can you release it if you're not holding it? So you have to embrace it. Whatever you're not embracing, whatever you're not holding, you can't release. So I thought that was when I was told that, it was so profound for me because I want to push it away. I don't want to just like my idea of releasing regret is like pushing it away, but then you're in the trunk in the corner. It's like embracing it, holding it, holding the thing that you regret, and then releasing it. Like you would send a pigeon into the sky or something, a dove, you know, just kind of like.
I use that thing. Yes. Oh, I love that. That's very, I can see why you would have connected that. That's very profound. It's like, yeah, if it's not yours, you can't give it away. You can't.
Yeah. 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 So it's yeah. So if I haven't posted that, I will post it. I will check, but I believe I posted it a few weeks ago.
I think a lot of people will see that. Yeah, that's a different feeling around it. I like that one. And even so.
Actually, it doesn't look like I posted it, so I will
post that. Good. I'm glad we see. It was like, hey, I want to be posted. And so it's coming up.
It's certainly something that came.
Yes. Now, here's an interesting thought is about there's. We have life review. It doesn't mean that we, you know, it's not like a second guessing is different than, yeah, I want to bring up life review around this because when we also say, you know what, let me look back at my life. What am I grateful for? What am I thankful for? Appreciative? Oh, wow. I, you know, didn't like that. Like life review is something that we do as humans, you know, maybe birthdays or significant anniversaries or dates and stuff. But that's healthy to do that. It's not, we shouldn't be afraid to do that. If there are things in our life that we regret, we should, but we can still do that, like a life review, and still go, what if I made a different decision? What if I didn't do this? What if I didn't get married, divorced, take that job, fly to that country? We can still do that in a healthy way though.
Mm. Yes. But then you want to see it as the observer and you don't want to keep cycling back. You know, it's, you see it and you release it. So you see it like, huh? Okay. So yeah. What if I didn't go there? You know, what if you didn't go to some place and have a result that, you know, some suffering, some outcome that was painful. Sure. But then you want to embrace what is. So it's the mind easily can attach to that, and then, which is different than a life review. It's like, what if I didn't do that? Is different than a life review, where it's like, okay, I did that, and wow, you know, and so, and all of the responses to that. So the what if is it? You know, what if I read somewhere recently. A while ago, and I've been doing this more when I catch myself in the what if, is about, well, what if it is going to be good? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, I lose everything? Well, what if something, what if instead I gain everything? What if, okay, I lose everything, but some more magnificent things come into my life? Or, you know, what if I don't lose everything? What if I have more? What if what I have is transforms into even better? Or what if I can just appreciate everything I have and feel so happy and content? You know, so changing the what if from something negative to what if something positive.
What if it's better? Yeah. What if it's better? Yeah. Now, even with that though, I do want to be mindful of what if it's better. We are still suffering then because we are in a position of wanting to be different than what it is, better or worse, right? And so
yes,
it's the. Does releasing regret, must it involve appreciation for the now?
Hmm.
I could ask Source.
It's an interesting question. Must it involve? It's almost like, no, it doesn't have to involve, you know?
Because
like...
appreciation, that's... To embrace something involves appreciation as well. Acceptance, I think.
It involves at least acceptance, right? Yes. So, you know, I see appreciation as as more than, okay, so I'm holding the rose and I got a thorn in my finger and I'm in acceptance with the rose and I might not be appreciating the bouquet and how pretty it looks, but I'm accepting the rose as thorns and I have one in my finger and that happened. So I'm not going, why didn't you look? Why were you, well, you couldn't, why weren't you careful? Why did you not see that the thorns hadn't been taken out? Why, you know, why are you picking roses from your neighbor's rose bush or whatever, you know? And so,
yes,
you know, so there's that acceptance of like the all of it, the beauty. I mean, the rose is such a great example because wow, beautiful. And the fragrance in it, it's so lovely and it has thorns and the thorns can hurt you. And so, yeah, accepting all of that.
Just a fabulous way of looking. I like that because accepting is totally different than appreciating. Yes, I can see that now, especially with the, and I have cacti in my house. So I often will brush by and go, oh, come on. Those little thorns, those little spines are getting me all the time. And I like that. So let's come up with a beautiful, another question here. I can feel it just bubbling up around regret. I would like to involve others in this one where our regret involves another, whether we have regret about what others are trying. I think a lot of times other people try to make us, why would that happen? Why would somebody else want you to regret? Do they think that something will change? Like if you think, oh, you're going to regret that, wait till that happens. And then, you know, that thing happens. And then the other person says, see, like, it's like we get involved in each other's regret.
Yes. And that could be that desire to protect again, to keep you safe. Oh, you're going to regret if you go travel internationally right now. It's not a good time, or, you know, so you have this desire. And a lot of times we can't see past the motivator, you know. So, you know, ooh, for me, where the regret tends to involve other people is for me often about sort of, if someone else was injured based on my actions, that I didn't mean to cause injury, but somehow I hurt their feelings. I didn't hurt their feelings, but my words caused their feelings to be hurt. And, you know, so if I adopted maybe a harsh tone or something like that, then I might have regretted, oh, you know, or why did I not listen fully? Why did I react? And so. For me personally, my regret around other people is often about how they may have been injured.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We can't.
Rather than that. You know, if someone is trying to, I see that as somebody trying to throw guilt at me, which I've gotten a lot better at just dodging it. You know, so if they're saying, "Well, you're going to regret that," you know. So.
Yes. I like that word, the motivator. And that might feel like that's a quick question. There's how to more easily or quickly or with love recognize the loving motivator, as opposed to going to that blame immediately, but the loving motivators, the protection.
I like that. I like that. So I'm going to dive in with that because we're also, you know, late in the hour. So just a quick swig of water and then the loving motivator, right? Because sometimes when we have regret, we don't recognize that loving motivator at all. We don't recognize that we were in that place of caring for ourselves.
Yes.
Okay. Turning it over. Hello, divine. You've heard the question and it's, how can we recognize that loving motivator, that motivator that was to take care of us or to in some way benefit us? And we appreciate this question as well because it is so vitally important that you get beyond your judgment. You get beneath your judgment. You go deeper than that. So many of you live in judgment and particularly self-judgment. Daily, constantly even, judging yourself in the back of your mind, judgmental thoughts filling your mind. And yet, the judgment has become a habit. The judgment always causes suffering. And so, as long as you are suffering, you are on some level in judgment. And so, it is the natural result of judgment. And so, how to recognize the loving motivator. Look beneath the thing you're judging. If you're saying something, how could I have been so stupid? Or why did I do that? What was I thinking? Those are words we hear you humans saying so often. If you are saying these things to yourself, stop. And what if you said to yourself, if I were loving myself, what would I have been thinking in making that choice? If I cared for myself, what would I have been thinking in making that choice? If I was kind to myself, what would I have been thinking making that choice? Because underneath all of this unkindness, there is a place inside of you where you want to be kind to yourself, where you want to take care of yourself. And that place is sometimes misinformed. That place can be overprotective, like the parent that hovers and tries to make the choices for the child and tries to dictate what the child will do out of love, out of caring, out of protection, not wanting the child to be hurt. And so the choices that you've made that have been most painful, deep down beneath the judgment, there has been a positive motivator. You just did not see the whole situation completely, because the positive motivator could have been wishful thinking. It could have been an assumption that you made, or the idea that you might change someone if you stay with them long enough, and things like this that are not really accurate. And so the first step is to get beyond the judgment. Stop the judgment. Listen to the voice in your head. Is it loving or judging? You cannot be loving and judging at the same time. So which is it? Is it loving? Is it judging? If it's judging, stop. What if I actually had a positive motive for that decision? What could it be? Be curious. What could it be? Here is the place, the positive what if. What if I had a positive motivator? What if I did really care about myself? What if I was trying to protect myself? What could be that positive motivator? And when you find it, when you recognize, oh, you were afraid, in a way that can be a positive motivator if it is to keep you safe. You were afraid, so you chose the safe path, and the safe path didn't bring you growth. The safe path gave you more of the same suffering, but it was the safe path. Have compassion for that positive motivator. Have compassion for yourself. See yourself that you actually were trying to take care of yourself. And it's when you try to take care of yourself from woundedness, then you cannot always take care of yourself well. And recognize that and don't judge it. Having that internal self-compassion, developing it through asking yourself questions that evoke compassion. What if I was kind? What could be my motivator? What if I cared for myself? What could be my motivator? What if I cared for that person who's now no longer wants to be my friend because I was mean to them? What if I cared? So you see that you did really care and you were trying to help them, but you in a controlling way, and they didn't appreciate it. Start to see beneath the judgment. Put the judgment aside and ask questions that are based in the outcome actually would be positive. What if I was kind? What if I cared? Start to ask those kind of questions. Then you can start to assume after a while, I know I cared about myself. I know I was trying to protect myself. When you can move to that level of owning it, I know that I am always trying to protect myself. So what was going on there? And you can see you were afraid. This person reminded you of someone that was scary to you. Okay, you recognize that. And when you recognize that, bring compassion to it and then embrace it. As Noemi Grace said, you must, and we, of course, told her, you must embrace that which you want to release, that which you want to let go. You cannot let go of something that's not in your hand. We love you so much. We want you to be free. And freedom is much easier than you realize. In great love, namaste.
What a great, helpful way to do that. End this and to start that is, what if I was coming from a place of love? What was my motivator? Yes. I love that. That was actually helpful for me. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great for me too.
Yeah.
Because we are so easily to judge ourselves when we've done something. When we regret something, we're full of judgment already. And so the dialogue is going to be judgmental. And so stepping back from that. Right then, when you see what if, returning to the original question, the first question, if you see what if I was coming from a place of caring for myself, and you see, okay, you chose a safe path, and it didn't bring you growth, but you, or maybe it turned to be the most unsafe, but to you it seemed safe, then you can really accept that, and you can embrace it and let it go and release it. So, and even forgive.
Yes. And I can see that, how it can be used for others as well. So if you're holding someone else in judgment, just have that compassion and embrace that they, in their world, were coming from their healthiest and most protective and safe self. This is so beautiful, Noemi. I love conversations go. And
so do I. This is such a poignant subject. This is a subject that's so relevant for me and for everyone. So grateful.
Yes, I am so grateful. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you the second, what is this one? Yes.
In 2 weeks, which would be, I think, the 26th. Yes.
Yes, so. The 26th of July, everyone. We'll see you back here on Access to Angels and Grace with Noemi Grace and Lisa Berry. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. Bye, Noemi.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.